Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
I forgot how we intro'd the show again. Welcome to the best animated shows ever, so far, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever. And we are wrapping up our discussion on Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir today. That's right, we're talking about episode 3, Stormy Weather. And you want to talk about the people who helped make this show?
Yeah. Let's talk about the people who helped make this show.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about the voice actors here. So I just kind of pulled the big three characters, which would be Ladybug, Cat Noir, and then Hawk Moth. So Ladybug / Marionette Dupont-Shang is played by Christina V. She is actually in Hunter Hunter as Killua Solchik. Does that name sound familiar at all?
Killua.
Killua. Yeah, sure. That name. So Ladybug here is in Hunter Hunter, which I know you really like. So yeah. I thought that was kind of cool. She also plays Sailor Mars in some of the dubs of Sailor Moon. I gather Sailor Moon has been dubbed over and over and over again, so sometimes she's Sailor Mars. And she's Shantae in the Shantae video game series.
I don't know that video game series.
You don't know the Shantae games? Oh, no. Man, they're great. I've only played them a little bit, but it's about a half genie. So you she kind of looks like the genie from
I Dream of Genie. I've seen artwork of that. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
I've only played a little bit of them, but they're great fun. They're kind of Metroidvania-ish action games. She can whip with her hair, and I think in some of them she does transformations and stuff. Cool games. Cool. And then playing Adrian Agreste / Cat Noir, we have Bryce Papenbrook. He plays in Sword Art Online. He is Kirito. I haven't seen Sword Art Online, but I've heard good things.
I have.
Do you know Kirito? Is he the main character?
I'm pretty sure he might be. I listened to it in Japanese, so his voice. Okay.
How about Attack on Titan?
Also in Japanese.
Yep. Well, in the English version, he plays Eren Yeager. In JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which is a show I know nothing about, but I've seen the name a bunch, he plays Cesar Antonio Cisapelli, maybe something. And in Pokemon Origins, he's Red. So he's in the Pokemon series, which is cool. Yeah. Hawk Moth is in Naruto. He plays... I should really let you do these when it comes to anime style shows. Gantetsu?
But I like... Yeah, no, that's pretty close. Yes. I couldn't say it as well as that, I don't think.
You started that like you were going to say, yeah, that was perfect. And then it was, yeah, that was... pretty close. He plays Gantetsu and Kimimaro? I don't know. More importantly, he's in the Stitch TV series. He takes over the role of Captain Gantu in the Stitch series.
But in the cartoon. No. Yeah. I remember watching the... because, like I've mentioned before, my sister is 4 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. And she used to like a lot of the Disney Channel stuff and Nickelodeon Channel stuff. So I got to see a lot of that stuff well and truly out of my, when I was into my teen years sort of thing. Like, I was like 14 or 15 when that show came out.
Yeah.
And she watched it. So I got
so
to
you
see
saw
it
from time to time. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also got roles in Hunter Hunter, Sailor Moon, and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. He also plays a crocodile in the Sonic the Hedgehog games, apparently. I'm not familiar with the expanded Sonic the Hedgehog cast. I know there's a lot of characters, but he's Vector the Crocodile, if that means anything to anybody. And in one incarnation of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon, he plays April O'Neil's dad, Dr. Kirby O'Neil.
Oh.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. I'm sure we will see some of these shows that came up here. We'll see again. Even though I didn't actually recognize any of these characters, I'm like, I know we're going to hit these shows again. So we'll circle back to those characters then. However, that's not what I actually want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about Gnome Kinnear. Gnome Kinnear wrote the intro song to this show, which we haven't really talked about so far, but it's great. It's a wonderful, like, classic introduction song. Like, it tells you, you know, I've got a secret nobody knows about me. She's Ladybug. It's great.
One of the reasons that we haven't talked about it is because of one of Netflix's new features, which is Skip Intro. And, I only saw the intro once, which was in the first episode, and I forgot to mention it. But because Netflix just automatically skips the intro, if you're continuing to like binge watch a show, I missed it the next two times. It just went straight into the episode, so I didn't even think about it.
I noticed that too, and it kind of bummed me out because I really like the theme song. But that's not why I want to talk about Gnome Kinnear. Gnome Kinnear? Yes, Kinnear. I want to talk about Gnome Kinnear because he's also the person who wrote a song that I know is very near and dear to both of us. I'll play just a little bit of it here. Except, well, it's going to play out of my ear. No, I can play it on my phone. Thinking about how to do things because I'm really clever and smart. I could have just hummed it, I suppose. But this is more fun. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Nope, this is also playing on a different set of headphones. Oh, I'm the worst.
Turn Bluetooth off.
Turn
on your phone.
Turn Bluetooth off. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Heck yeah.
What?
The same person who wrote the theme song for Ladybug wrote the theme song for the X-Men.
So we're just jamming out right now to the X-Men theme because what's great about that is it's so iconic and so memorable. Mm-hmm. Like if you were born around the time that we were, like late 80s, early 90s, you just go, and there's like four or five other people who will finish that off for you. Because everyone loved that show.
It's very good. I can't wait to talk about that show because I expect it does not hold up at all. But the theme song is very good.
It's still playing.
The show?
No, your phone.
Not out
is
loud.
Is it not?
Nope, that's just in your head.
Oh, you're that's just in my head?
It is definitely not actually playing.
Oh my god.
You're just going da na 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 na
na. If you don't hear the last part of that song, like the really high pitched bit, it just keeps playing over in your head. Like the da na 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 na. Like it'll just keep going. it's so addictive. But I'm gonna have to go listen to that lady later. Oh,
it's
God.
Very good. So Stormy Weather aired on December 20th, 2015 on Nickelodeon. It's one of the things I didn't really talk about yet, but this show first started on Nickelodeon. And then after the first season, Nickelodeon passed on it, and it got picked up by Netflix.
Yeah.
So it was originally like made to be a Nickelodeon show, and then got moved over. But this episode, Stormy Weather, I thought it was kind of interesting because I don't know how early in the process they knew it was going to be a Nickelodeon show, But this episode opens with a competition to be a weather girl for Kids Plus TV, which is absolutely Nickelodeon. Like, their logo, it just looks like the Nickelodeon logo, except it says Kids Plus instead. But I thought that was kind of interesting. I was like, this is production number 101. So this was the first episode they actually worked on. And yeah, I would guess that they either knew they were going to Nickelodeon or were aiming to go to Nickelodeon based on that. In any case, summary. This episode, do you want to do it? I didn't write one, so.
Yeah. So in this episode, it starts off with the Weather Girl competition. One of the girls wins the competition, and the other one feels, because she won it by a landslide, the other one feels rejected and depressed, and this is Hawk Moth's in to make another villain, and he turns her into Stormy Weather. I can't remember what her original name was now. It was another weather pun.
Her name is Aurora. Wait a minute. That's Storm's name. A-U-R-O-R-E. How would you pronounce that name? Aurora?
Aura? No, I don't know. But yeah, I thought it was another weather pun. Oh, her last name must be the weather pun. What?
Let me cue up another YouTube video. I just was like, I wonder how you say this name. Let me go to the internet and search how to say her name, because the internet will tell me. Here we go. How to pronounce? Okay, it's from pronouncenames.com.
Okay.
Aurora. Aurora.
You got to get it back in your throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's very French. When they say her name on the show, I don't think they've
used quite as much of a French accent. No. But essentially, she gets turned into Stormy Weather, and it's supposed to be the middle of summer, and she turns everything cold.
Yep. Meanwhile, Marinette's babysitting. That's her teen drama for the day.
Yep.
And she's babysitting while Adrian is at a photo shoot in the park. And so Alia and her take the child that she's babysitting out to the park to try
Manon.
To go smooch him. Yep. Manon is the little girl. Yeah. So it starts off with the voting. So there's a vote happening for the two contestants to be the new weather girl on this kids' TV show. And Marinette is watching it at home, but the little girl, Manon, that she's babysitting has stolen her phone so that she can vote.
Yep.
And she's voting around, trying
she's
to get
voting
a phone
for
back.
The girl who eventually wins, because she thinks she's the best.
Everybody loves this other girl, apparently. Yeah. The little girl runs around the house, she steals a hat, and then the phone again, and Marinette's completely out of her element. Marinette should not be babysitting. She does not know what she's doing. Fortunately, Alia shows up and saves the day. I've liked Alia the whole way through, but in this episode, she is incredible. She's so good.
Oh, she's
so
the
good.
Best. Yeah, but my favorite bit is when she the kid's running around causing a ruckus in the, and Alia turns up in Marinette is like, oh, she's such a angel.
Such an angel. Which Alia then is like, well, I've got lots of experience with kids, because I think she says she's babysits
three
somebody
three
else
younger?
Yeah. But she's like, she says that she's a magical unicorn from this faraway land, and she's been battling evil or something, and she can grant magical wishes, but only to well-behaved little girls. And the kid's like, no, you're not. Are you? And it's so freaking cute. It's adorable.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
And they adventure out to the park.
Yep. Yep. Meanwhile, we see the result of the Weather Girl vote. And Aurora did not win. She lost by like, they say like by like half a million votes or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, half
like,
a million votes.
You got destroyed
like,
in that.
And when you see the results, it's like 28% to like 72% or something.
It's 82% to 82%.
Oh, okay.
She got 82% of the vote. Yeah.
There you go. And
not
she,
good.
She's not happy about it, and she storms off with her umbrella.
She storms off.
Yeah, I know. I made the pun.
She storms off. Because she's going to turn into the supervillain called Stormy Weather, MC.
I know, I made the pun.
But that's...
Did you want me to make more emphasis next time?
Because you said she storms off.
Yes.
And that's like the start of her name as a supervillain. It's Stormy Weather. It's the same.
Yeah. I like how I was like trying to slide it in subtly and you're like, hey, point it out, point it out. Yes, she storms off.
Speaking of sliding it in, an Akuma slides into her umbrella and transforms her into the villain, Stormy Weather.
Yeah. And her whole deal is, it's cold.
Yeah, she has a less specific revenge plan than the two villains we've seen in the previous episodes. Bubbler was upset at adults, and Mr. Pigeon was upset at park rangers. Stormy Weather is, I guess the premise is that she's pissed at everybody who voted for the other girl, which is 82% of the population. So she's
which is
basically
most
of
Paris,
of
I guess.
Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's her revenge plan.
So her revenge plan is to ruin the weather, the good weather that they've been having this summer, and to make it stormy.
Stormy weather. Storm. I have a note here that says when she gets her power, says, I give you the power to seek revenge on them as my weather girl. All you have to do is bring me the miraculouses. And she's like way into that. And then my note says, whoa, she turned goth. Because she gets like super cool goth superhero or supervillain looks complete with black umbrella. And she goes outside of the weather studio and everybody's like, where's the girl who won? We like her. And she says, I recommend y'all get inside. Because it's about to get real stormy out here. Oh, wait. It's too late. And then she blows everybody away.
The girl who wins is called Mirai. And I only know that because Manon, the little girl, says it like 150 times in this episode.
Because she likes her. It's so sad. She also froze Mirai in an elevator. So we've seen her do two storm powers so far. She can make giant blocks of ice, and she can control the wind.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the park, it's a wonderful sunny day, and Adrian's posing in front of a fountain with a photographer just taking all kinds of pictures of him, and Marionette is like, hey guys, we're going to walk casually behind this fountain and just happen to see Adrian while he's sitting over there. So they casually stroll through the park, and he does not see them at all.
And Manon starts being like, oh, and a Mirai balloon.
Yeah.
Because apparently there's a guy in the park selling balloons with the new Weather Girl's face on them.
Yep. And Alia's like, well, I'll take her over to get the balloon, so you can stay here, and you can... goggle Adrian, and so I'll take him over, and Manon's like, no! Man, it's my babysitter, I won't go with her. I'm using a really annoying voice, but I actually like Manon a lot. She was adorable. So Marionette takes her to get a balloon, and then, let's see.
The photographer is there.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we need a girl. and they see the friend
Alia.
Alia. That, I keep forgetting her name.
She's the best.
Yeah.
Yep. So the photographer runs over and he's like, you come be in the pictures. And she's like, it's got a cold or something. Let me get my friend. But unfortunately, this is right. Oh, no, not quite yet. Does she show up? Does she?
No, because no, Alia's like, they get the balloon first.
Yeah. So Alia or Manon's got the balloon. Alia's taken her over to the carousel and Marinette's going to go be in the pictures. And then it starts to get a little bit stormy.
Yeah. You want me to do it, don't you?
Stormy. Do what? Stormy, because stormy wet is here.
Yeah. It's getting stormy.
She starts, like, attacking everybody that's got a balloon of the weather girl.
Yeah.
Just everybody. And then she sees
she
Manon.
She freezes all of them in, like, blocks of ice. But the main reason she does this is because a kid accidentally lets go of his balloon and he starts crying about it. And the balloon guy is like, oh, don't worry. Here, have another one. And that's what brings her attention to the park that they're in.
Is it? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because the balloon goes by and she's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And then she follows it. That's right. So she's just being a jerk, attacking everybody with weather powers. And then she freezes the carousel. Except for she's not... I keep saying she freezes things. She puts, like, bubbles of ice around things.
Yeah, it's like a dome of ice around everything. It's weird.
Well, what's nice about it is it means that we... Excuse me. We get to see how Alia and Manon deal with being trapped inside the ice. Which is really kind of cool. Because if they were just in a block of ice, they'd just be like, I'm frozen. But instead, we get to see them, you know, interacting and dealing with it. Which, like I said, I liked Alia a lot before this, but her interactions with Manon in the ice are what make me love her, because she is, like, doing such a good job of trying to keep Manon's spirits up and keep her feeling safe. And it's really sweet. I like it.
I'm pretty sure there's a fight in here, that, like, both, both the heroes sort of run off and transform, so they can attack Stormy Weather, who's attacking the park they're in.
Yep. Yeah, so we get a little bit of an action scene here. We get, let's see. We get Ladybug trying to pull the ice away from the carousel using her yo-yo, which doesn't
work.
Oh,
yeah.
And then she, like, promises that Marinette will come back and come back to Manon because she's freaked out about it, which is really cute. And then we get Cat Noir making some wonderful puns. He calls her Ice Queen, which she's like, I'm not Ice Queen, I'm Stormy Weather. And then he's like, listen, I'm feline more generous than usual, so why don't you just get out of here and we'll forget about it. This is feline because it's like a cat.
We all love our puns on this show. I just tend for my puns to be a little bit more subtle, so when he did that I was like, oh, that was a bit over the top, but I was like, I do like it, though.
But it's feline.
Yeah.
He even says it like that. He's like, I'm feline. More generous than usual.
If they didn't put so much emphasis on it, and he was just like, I feline more generous, if he just, like, said it like that, I would have been like, ah, that's a good pun. But because they emphasized it, I'm like, oh, this is a bit over the top. I still like it, but it's a bit over the top. But that's your sort of puns. You love it when they emphasize the pun more, which is why when I did mine earlier, you were like, hey,
Stormy. Unfortunately, Stormy Weather's not much of a fan of puns either, so she blows him away with the wind. She blows him away
with the wind. She literally... No, well... That's not even a pun. She literally blows him away.
But it's a pun because she blows him away is like, wait, what if it said she blows him off? She hears his punch, she blows it off. Yeah. Is that better?
Yeah,
blows,
that's better.
Like the wind, because she uses the wind power to blow him away. And he like gets blown blocks away. And for some reason, Ladybug's right where he lands. And
oh, yeah.
Cats landing on their feet joke. And then he real horny for her. Like, he like completely forgets that they're in a supervillain fight and is like, oh, hey, Ladybug, how you doing? Let me kiss your hand. And she's like, no, there's a supervillain on the loose. What are you doing?
Yeah. She's like, get your head in the game, mate.
Yeah, yeah. I just love the inversion that Marionette like cannot control herself around Adrian. And Cat Noir, like, every time he sees Ladybug, he's like, oh, hey, how are you? What's up? I'm a cat.
What's great is the reason that neither of them is interested in the other one when they're in their alter egos is because they're interested in each other in their other alter egos.
Yep, yep. Cat Noir has no time for girls because he loves Ladybug. And Marionette has no time for Cat Noir because she loves Adrian.
Yeah.
It's real cute. It's real cute. So we get a fight scene here where they're fighting against stormy weather. She's, like, using the wind to throw cars at him and stuff. At one point, they almost get crushed by a bus, but I think Ladybug used her yo-yo to, like, slice the hole in the side of the bus.
It's really weird. It starts going really fast, and it's, like, almost a light effect. Like, it's going so fast, it's, like, the speed of light or something. And then when the bus lands on them, it cuts to outside, and you're like, oh, no, they're crushed. And then it cuts to inside, and there's a perfect circle cut out of the window where they are.
When that happened, I was like, wait, did they just die? What just happened? No, turns out her yo-yo, like, turned into a laser and sliced a hole in the side of the bus. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they find out that... Or no, this is where, so while they're in the bus, stormy weather disappears and then comes on the news and says, summer vacation is officially over, which again, Cat Noir, keep it in your pants because he goes, already? But I look so good in a swimsuit. And Ladybug's
it's almost like a wink, eyebrow lift sort of, like, to Ladybug. It's like, oh man, just... that's kind of creepy.
Totally. And she just goes, the cat suit will do, thanks. And then they figure out who the bad guy is as they run to the studio, because they see the news report, so they know that she's at the studio, and they see a poster or something that had the two contestants for the contest.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, snap, that's her. That's who she is. Which I thought was interesting, because, like, it's cool that they figured it out so quickly, but also it doesn't really have any bearing on how they stop her.
Yeah, no.
But it was nice, like, it felt good that they figured it out.
It shows the intelligence of the characters.
Right, yeah. More than anything. I like that they seem... They are regularly shown to be competent, which is nice for a kid's show. Because in a kid's show, I feel like it's really easy to have your characters just be dumb, because your audience is dumb.
Yeah.
No offense, children. But
hey, this you show have a lot to learn.
Yeah, right. And this show doesn't do that. They're like, no, they're good at what they do. I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. Unfortunately, it was a recording. She's not here, except she's right over there. Which again, it was like them figuring out the who she was. Like, you think it's going to be important, and then it's not. And then they get to the studio, and they're like, oh, it was a recording. She's not here. She's literally to their right in the same room. Because? I don't understand why...
Well, she had to get the recording on the air somehow.
But when did she record it? And why did it matter that it was recording and not live? She was literally in the same room that they thought she was going to be in, just slightly to the right.
Well, I mean... Is it the producer's room she's in? Not
she's
the same
in the same
studio?
Room! She's on the sound stage! Just over there.
That makes... Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's just a little bit odd.
Yeah.
She cuts the light, so now they're trapped in the dark. But, of course, Cat Noir can see in the dark.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Of course he can.
And he grabs hold of Ladybug's wrist and guides her out.
Yep.
Onto the roof.
Yeah, they do a long chase scene through the dark building.
Yeah.
And eventually get out onto the roof. And we get a lucky charm. Her lucky charm isn't a bath towel this time. And
there's some more chatter between the villain, the episode villain, and Ladybug and Cat Noir. And there's this little cute scene in this where Cat Noir's still holding onto Ladybug's wrist.
Right.
And they both realize at the same time, and Cat Noir's like, hee! Like, he does a little shy smile thing, and he's like, sorry. Yeah. And that's when the Lucky Charm happens, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And the Lucky Charm, I'm checking my notes here.
Is it a hand towel?
It's a bath towel. And she wraps it around her arm and then looks around and she sees pipes and a billboard and stuff. She has Cat Noir run out. He knocks the billboard over, which comes crashing down on Stormy Weather, who has to blast a hole in it in order to not get crushed by it. Meanwhile, Ladybug wraps her yo-yo around Stormy Weather's ankle, and then, like, the billboard falls and breaks a pipe off of a air conditioning system, which creates an updraft, and then she jumps on top of the broken pipe over the updraft, throws the bath towel above her to make a parachute so that the bath towel pulls her up into the air while she's still holding the yo-yo, which is going down under the broken billboard and then back up through the hole to Stormy Weather's ankles, which means that acts as like a fulcrum and pulls Stormy Weather back to the ground as Ladybug gets shot up into the air. And somehow, due to all of that, she drops her parasol and they get to break it.
Yeah, that's pretty much the whole fight. That whole last fight scene,
yep,
is like, it wraps up in like probably 30 seconds or so.
But it's really well shot. Like,
yeah,
I cannot compliment enough the action scenes on this because they're like super high energy and the camera is always moving during the action scenes. They just, yeah, they look really good.
And one of the big things is Ladybug's lucky charm, mm-hmm, that vision where it's just black and white, and then all the things that she needs turns into the Ladybug black and white, black and red spots. It's great. Yeah. I love like the aesthetic of her working stuff out. It really meshes with the action scenes well.
Well, and it's what I just realized is that Cat Noir and Ladybug are both like competent fighters. Like,
yeah,
but we don't actually see them fighting that much. They totally could, and they do a little bit, but mostly what they do is strategy over fighting. It's kind of like Batman. And, like, you don't want Batman to beat the villain just by punching him in the face. You want him to do something clever. And that's what they do to win their battles.
And the other thing is, mostly when they are, like, fighting, it's not them attacking, it's them defending themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the other big thing that, yeah, I agree. Like, that's how a lot of fight scenes in stuff should be. It shouldn't be the hero attacking. It should be the hero defending themselves without attacking the villain too much.
And like, coming up with a way to stop the villain, not necessarily, yeah, beat the villain.
Yes.
Yeah. I hadn't really put that together until just now, but yeah, I like that about it. I think that's nice.
Yeah, I really enjoy this show.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what we forgot to talk about?
Mm.
In the middle of, like, all the fights and stuff, it cuts back to the park.
Oh, yeah!
And
The cute scenes with Alia telling, like,
yeah,
they hear the ice cracking, and she's like, oh, it's the Goblin King's grumbly tumbly, and stuff like that. It's
yeah, it's really cute. But there's, like, police and firemen outside the domes trying to free them from the carousel.
Yeah. Not making any progress.
Oh, and what's even worse is, like, all the cracking and stuff on the inside, there's, like, spikes forming.
Yeah, yeah, and, like, cutting. So they go into the carousel to take cover, and then the next time it cuts back, the spikes are, like, just ripping through the top of the carousel, and I was like, oh, man, I definitely was thinking that was, like, a metal top to that thing, but apparently it's just fabric. That is not great for taking cover under.
Oh, no. And then right at the end, it's, like, it cuts back, and it just disappears, and it's like, oh, we're saved.
Yep. And our heroes fist bump. Do they fist bump every episode, or is that
every
is
episode? This one?
Okay.
And they actually say fist bump.
Yeah, which is cute. So then we go back to the park. Adrian goes back to having his photo taken, and Marionette like goes running up to be the girl in the photo shoot, and he's like, ah, yeah, here's a girl. She's gonna be great for this. Oh wait, look at Manon. She's gorgeous. This small child is my star. And then there's a
angel.
Montage.
He actually calls her a little angel.
Oh, because they kept calling her an angel earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look at you with the good notes.
I didn't take any notes because I was drunk. I told you that. I just have a really good memory.
You do. So then, they get pictures. Adrian takes pictures with Manon, and Manon's like, "Ah, man." And Alia's like, "Don't worry, you'll get him next time, champ." Because Alia's the best. She's always so supportive. It's great. And that's it.
And then the cutscenes at the end of this episode are all the pictures that they've been taking, and they're really cute.
They're super freaking cute. It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That is Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir. The first CGI show that we have discussed on the Best Animated Shows Ever so far. That takes us to the last two things we have to do. We have to put Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir on the big list, and then we got to pick another show.
So there's going to be a small discussion about where this should be placed, I think. Because I reckon it should be number 3 above SpongeBob.
Okay, so right now the list is My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball, SpongeBob, Biker Mice from Mars, and Legend of Zelda. You're saying it would go in below Dragon Ball, above SpongeBob?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean... So looking at the lower side of the list, it's definitely better than Biker Mice from Mars. There's no way it's going below that.
No. This is the discussion that I thought was going to happen. It's, do you think it should be above SpongeBob or below SpongeBob?
Oh, I think it has to go above SpongeBob. I would actually, I mean, sacrilegious as it feels to say this, I would almost put it above Dragon Ball.
I would not.
Yeah?
Because I quite like this show, but I don't have the same feeling as I do when I watch Dragon Ball.
Yeah. The nostalgia factor is definitely strong there when it comes to Dragon Ball.
Oh, it's not just that. Like, there's this excitement that I get when I'm watching Dragon Ball that I didn't have with this show. Like, it's an exciting show, and it's full of action and all this other stuff, but... there's something about Dragon Ball with, like, the characters and, like, well, especially Goku and his bombastic nature. I feel it's slightly more, like, directed towards me than this show was.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay, you got me. I'm convinced. We'll put it in at number 3, beneath Dragon Ball, above SpongeBob SquarePants. I think that's a pretty good place for it. I think it is closer to Dragon Ball in that gap than it is to SpongeBob.
No, it's definitely closer to Dragon Ball than it is SpongeBob. But there's going to be a lot more shows that we're going to have to get into. And I suspect if we watched more episodes of this, I would get a different feeling about it.
Yeah.
And it might rise up above Dragon Ball. But then, again, if we watch more episodes of Dragon Ball, there's going to be a lot more of that nostalgia feeling. And that, like, especially when you start getting into, like, the martial arts competitions, where you see all the characters come out, that, with Dragon Ball, that's just going to crush a lot of things.
Well, and I think in Dragon Ball, I think next episode, I think episode 4, you get Yamcha. which even that is like, you're right. All right, so at number three, Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir, which means, excuse me, the last thing we have to do is we have to pick another show to watch, and I actually need to...
You have to go into who submitted the show that I chose.
I'm sending you a link so you can view the spreadsheet where people put in submissions.
Okay. I'm going to have to pull that up on this computer. There we go. Well, you already know... where is it? Oh, it's Tyler.
Oh, yeah, you can do a Tyler show. We can't do a Banshee show this week.
Yeah,
so.
No, it's like, it's Tyler again. I'm like, oh, well, I think there's about four of them there that are from Tyler.
So you're putting on Dungeons & Dragons, submitted by Tyler. I'm going to put on... I'm going to put on Ys, book one, or Ys. I don't actually know how to say it. Submitted by Matunica, who is Bill from the RPG Golden Years podcast. Ys is an action RPG game series that also apparently has an anime. So we'll put that on.
Oh, fair enough.
What do you want to pick as your submission, not pulling from the list?
Gotta look up the list to see what, I said last time, so I can't pick it again.
You had Rocco's.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna put it in again, because I really do want to get around to this show. And, it's one that I know you want to do as well, and that's Gargoyle.
Yep.
Yeah, Gargoyles again.
Gargoyles from MC. And I'm going to put on... Gosh, what am I going to put on? I'm going to put on Street Sharks MC.
Yes!
All right, so for next week, we are going to be picking between Dungeons & Dragons, Ys Book 1, Gargoyles, and Street Sharks. MC's got a dice. Go ahead and give it a roll.
One.
It's a one. We're watching Dungeons & Dragons as submitted by Tyler on Twitter, Jack's Cat Cult. Thank you, Tyler, for your submission. for the field, what is your Twitter handle or how you would like to be credited, he put, it's Tyler again. So thank you, it's Tyler again. We'll be covering Dungeons & Dragons next week. I don't know anything about this cartoon.
I think we should actually promote that. You've made a submission thing for where people...
Yeah, you're right. We should talk about that. So over on our Twitter page, it should be in our About section, I think, on Twitter now. There's a link to a submission form. So if you have a show you want us to cover, you can put in there. It just asks you what the show is, why you think it would be a good show. Ask for your name, just how you'd like to be credited, and then whether you'd be interested in being a guest in the show. Oh, goodness, MC.
I tested it. Do you want to tell everyone how I tested it?
I think I deleted whatever you put in. I don't remember what it was.
I'll tell it. So there's multiple fields. So you put in the show that you're... and then you say why, and then you put your name, and... What was the last one?
Whether you'd be interested in being a guest.
Yes. So I put all of them, and then the reason was boobs and butts.
That's right. Yep.
and then I put in my Twitter handle, and then it was like, yes, I think I put. I was like, oh, this will be a funny test just for me and Troy. And then immediately after you got it, you were like, hey, don't do that again. I put it so it automatically tweets now. I'm like, oh, good thing that I did that before you did that.
I'm going to cut that part out, though, of this, because I don't want to tell people that it automatically tweets, because I don't want somebody to abuse the system. Give us real submissions. Don't be like MC.
Yeah, don't be like me. I'm all about the goofs on this show. No one else can be about the goofs on this show.
MC, the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon came out in 1983.
Yeah.
It looks awful.
It looks bad, but from what I remember as a kid, seeing it as a rerun in, like, the early 90s, remember, I was, like, 5 or 6 at this time when I saw it. It was, like, 90, 91 sort of thing. No, it would have been 91, 92, I mean. But I was really young when I saw it. And from what I remember, it's just, like, a bunch of normal kids get dragged into a D&D world.
Okay, that sounds kind of cool.
And they get put into, like, the, classic, roles from Dungeons & Dragons. So there's a fighter, there's a wizard, there's a thief, and that sort of thing.
Probably barbarian and paladin and maybe a sorcerer.
Yeah, but it's, like, just classic D&D, like, archetypes, and
yeah,
they do D&D adventures. And from what I remember, they're, like, fairly decent stories.
All right.
So I reckon this will be a fun one. And like I said on Twitter earlier today, today when we're recording, not when you're probably hearing this, it goes from, like, being bad to being so bad it's good again, like Master of the Universe, you know, that Dolph Lundgren movie. but the one that you were surprised about was I commented on the Maryland flag.
Yeah, I didn't understand that, but then I looked up the Maryland flag and it looks really bad. I guess that the whole thing?
Yeah, it looks so bad it looks good again. Is the whole thing.
I don't think so. I think it just looks bad. Maybe I didn't stare at it long enough.
It look up the Maryland flag. It's really bad. It's a state flag from America for those outside of the U.S.
Maryland flag. It's just weird. There's too much going on.
Yeah, but if you look at it for long enough, it just becomes good for some reason.
It, like, hurts my eyes.
Yeah. It's this odd thing that happens. If you look at it for too long, it just becomes good, and you're like, what's going on in my head?
It makes me contemplate existence. That'll do it for this week. Thank you for tuning in to the best animated shows so far. Nope, that's not it. The best animated shows ever so far. There it is. I know how our show goes. We will be back next week with Season 1, Episode 1 of Dungeons & Dragons, which is called The Night of No Tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.